All right, welcome everyone to another episode of O365A. Today, in this episode, we are at MVP Summit 2019, and we have a very special guest, Lori Pottmeyer, who's a senior program manager here at Microsoft for the Microsoft Teams team. So, Lori, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself and some of the hats that you wear here at Microsoft?
Sure, yeah, thanks for having me. Well, first of all, thank you for the gear. I might wear this home. I'm really liking the red. So I've been at Microsoft for 14 years, and I've been in unified communications the entire time, started with live meeting and kind of progressed as and have been through the journey with Link and OCS and Skype for Business. And even when I first joined, there was still LCS around. So it's been a super fun journey. I've done programs, always been customer facing, working on feedback programs to further improve our product, have done some adoption work, working with our customers, enterprise customers, to help them transition from one product to the next and get their adoption increased within their organizations. So did that, and then now have been in the role that I'm in now as community lead for Microsoft Teams since right around GA, which is 2 years as of this past couple weeks. So it's been a really fun ride, a good journey, and I love my role working with the community.
Yeah, it seems like there's definitely a lot of excitement, obviously, around Teams over the last couple of years with the functionality that it can provide. So, I mean, over the last couple of years, what have you seen from an adoption perspective?
You know, it's interesting. When Teams first arrived, it had this new, glossy, exciting feel, and people love it. But ultimately, what you see with Teams, and I don't know if you all have the same experience, but when people see Teams for the first time, they love all of the features, but truly, for somebody to adopt, they need to understand how it will work with their organization. And so when you look at individuals and kind of think about how change management works with different people in different parts of the world and different roles doing different things, you know, everybody uses it different. And so a demo of Teams to one person may be totally unrelatable. And to the next person, it may completely make sense. And so what we see with Teams adoption is that it's super important for people to really understand how Teams will help the way that they work specifically. So if I do a certain workflow today and I'm using email and SharePoint, how does that work when you have Teams? Do I still use email? Maybe in some cases. Do I still use SharePoint? In some cases, yes. But Teams then becomes the hub. And that's really what I think when you look at our overall customer base and, you know, new customers, existing customers, it's one of the differences is that people used to roll out SharePoint individually. They used to roll out Exchange individually. And now what we're seeing is that Teams is bringing that all together. And so it's really kind of being it's being the glue that holds everything together, and people are deploying Teams, which then includes all of these other products. And it's really exciting to see that grow.
You know, like I said, it's just the feature set that's continually coming in there is very, very exciting. That's awesome.
Yeah, and today, Enterprise Connect, they actually announced that there are 500,000 organizations using Teams. So it's definitely getting some attention. It's exciting.
Lori, you were mentioning about adoption and, you know, kind of changing the way people work. Once you've kind of passed that cycle, I mean, Teams is now 2 years, 2 years old now. Microsoft has been releasing feature after feature, making some changes in how the client is, making improvements all the time. As a, you know, a business that has gone through their adoption cycle, how do you recommend that users, you know, keep on track with these new features, and how do they incorporate them into their business processes after they've already moved to Teams?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because there's kind of two ways of looking at this, right? You've got the IT pro that's actually rolling out the technology, and they care about the features because they're having to support that and make sure that people know about it and make sure that their support team is aware of what these features are and that, you know, how it's expected to work. And then you've got the user, and they care about how it works because that's the tool that they're using day to day. And so, you know, I can think of all different kinds of analogies, but ultimately, a quick way for people to understand, it's not like there's a right-hand pane on the side that says, oh, today you've got X. You know, a lot of people wouldn't want to see that. But it is important that users know what's new. And so, I don't know how many people know this feature, but in the product, actually, if you hit the help button, which is in the lower left, the lower left-hand side of the client, it'll actually take you to a what's new section. And so you can see by date there, everything that is new in that client, in that build that you have. And so you'll be able to see things and scroll through. And that's really a great way for users to see the big things that are happening with their own client. It certainly does not include every little feature. We release things so quick and we release so many features. It would be the longest list ever and people ultimately wouldn't care about all of those features. But the help option in the client is really a great way for people to see those top level things that I think they'll care about the most. And then there's other ways of looking at what the new features are. And if you go to, like Office, our Office site, you can see new releases and filter by all of the Office products and see what's new in Teams that way as well, which is a little bit more of a lengthier list. And that's the support.office.com.
Yeah, I've been using the tech community because they've been releasing, what's new in March and kind of a monthly cadence. Yep. And, you know, something as simple as, background blur, right, which we're, two of us are using today. is just something that just shows up in your client and just ingrained into your process.
Yeah, the Microsoft tech community is a really great place to see those monthly roll-ups of everything that is new and descriptions of how those things work. And then for some of the bigger features, our program managers will actually write blogs that go a little bit deeper into how things work and give you a little bit more information. And then, of course, we always try to link to documentation and training. So there's always a lot of ways to get up to speed that way as well. And that link to it, in case people don't know where to find the tech community, you can find over 70 products and services at Microsoft. That's where all of our discussion boards are. It's also where all of our blogs are for all those products and services. And I'm going to give you the short link to Teams, but it's aka.ms/Teams Community. So it's a great resource.
Awesome. So, Lori, Microsoft's always innovating their products with the user experience in the forefront. So maybe tell us a little bit about how Teams changed the way you work on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's funny. Any change is difficult. I don't care who you are. Change is usually a really a hard thing for people to swallow. And so for me personally, when Teams came about, it was more kind of playing with it. And I'm in a little bit of a different situation because I sit in the Teams product group. So I probably had in kind of a drinking from the fire hose situation that some others may not have, which was a good thing. But I will tell you, it was a change. It's a new way of working. It really, truly is. I mean, you have just kind of torn down all the walls, right? And so for me, that's been a really positive thing because I work remote. And so though I've been at Microsoft for a really long time, and I've worked with a lot of the same people, there's new people coming. This is a huge organization in technology. People move around a lot. And I don't always know who to go to for what. And because I have such a broad spectrum of people that I work with across the entire org, managing our community and making sure that I'm connecting with all of the different feature teams to understand what's going on, I need to know who those people are and I need to know how to reach them. So in the past, I would try to find out who somebody was that owned a particular feature, and I would have to email somebody that I knew and hope that they knew who I was supposed to talk to. Well, they might be on vacation. And then if they got back to me, they may have a name, or they may say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And then I'm back to square one. Which then, if they had somebody in mind, then I started the process over, and now we're in the dark. And I would have to, you know, go through that whole process again and try to figure out who the right person was to talk to. And so, you know, with Teams, it's made it really, really easy for me, because now the way that our channels are laid out for our team is that we have a channel for each of the feature areas. And so if I'm looking for somebody that has to do with messaging, I no longer have to think of who I might know that has anything to do with messaging. If I don't know who that person is, I can just go to the messaging channel and either ask my question right there and have them answer it, which is usually immediate, or I can tag somebody that I know and say, hey, I need somebody to help me out with something. Who's the best person to talk to about X? And then again, immediately somebody in that channel will then tell me who I'm supposed to talk to. And usually what happens is the conversation just happens there and people jump in and it becomes a really collaborative process, which just does not happen on emails. So I would say for me personally, it's really increased my productivity. It's really sped things up as far as, you know, how I get information, how quick I get information, how easy it is to get information. It's just been very, very different for me in a positive way.
Yeah, that's really cool. And just to add to that, I know my own personal experience being a parent, it's not always easy to be online and absorb information all the time. So one of the benefits I've got from Teams is just being able to use that persistent chat to go in when I have time to catch up with everything. And it's just made it easier to consume information.
Oh, that's a really good point. Like, I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys, but I have been in chat conversations in the past where I forget what we were talking about because I log out and I, you know, whether I go on vacation or I'm gone for the night or whatever, and I come back to that conversation and somebody says, yes. And I have no idea what they're replying yes to because I don't have that conversation history. And so you're right in that, you know, because Teams has that whole conversation, I'm able to do that. And then the mobile client as well. I mean, the mobile client, it works so, so well and makes it very easy for me to stay connected, not only to check my messages and my, you know, both in my Teams and channels, but also my instant messages, but also to join meetings. And so there's time, you know, I have two young kids too. And so a lot of times I'm running from place to place or, you know, working with people all over the world. I'm working different hours and I'm not always in front of my computer. It doesn't always make sense for me to do that. So it makes it really, really easy to join in the mobile client. And that's been great too.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm also really interested in, because you've been involved with Teams from day one inside Microsoft, just your view of how Teams has changed, how people in Teams collaborate at a sort of a group level.
Yeah. Again, because we're in the product group, we probably consume it a little bit different than most people. And we've kind of been on the, you know, tip of that spear, for obvious reasons. But that said, I will tell you that just even all across Microsoft, it really is, like I said earlier, it's a new way of working. And that is, for me, a very positive way. And I think for a lot of people has been a really positive thing because it enables us to hear conversations and have transparency across multiple teams that we never had before. So when you think about when you used to send an email to somebody and you saw that email and the person you sent it to saw that email and the other 50 people that had anything to do with that topic of conversation never knew that you were having that conversation. And in some cases, that's appropriate. And, you know, that's what we have one-on-one chat for. That's why we still have Outlook. But there are times where it may be good for other people on your team to have access to those conversations. And so it's kind of like sitting in a room and having all of the walls down, right? So you have sit in an open atmosphere and you're able to have conversations and it's good to have other people hearing those conversations because then they overhear you and they're like, oh, that's a really good point. Or, oh, I didn't know you were working with that customer. Or they, you know, there may be things that they hear that are of benefit to them. And so it's the same way with Teams because those conversations in most cases are public and everybody has access to those, it makes it so that you can check in on things and kind of, just be a fly on the wall sometimes and know that that information is super relevant to you. You may not have anything to say about it, but just having that information is really useful for your job. And there may be times where you should be inserted in a conversation or you have some input and it's important for you to share that. And so, you know, I think that transparency is something to get used to, because it is like you've had your corner office for a long time and you're super comfortable in there and you have it decorated all the way you want. And then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, guess what? We're sitting in a big open room and we're going to have no walls and everybody's going to hear everything. But then once you get used to that, it becomes almost a comfort. Like, you feel good because your work is out there and you're having people contribute and help you, and you're able to do that to other people too. So I think we've seen a lot of that at Microsoft. And I know for me in my role, that's been really useful.
Yeah, great answer. It's almost like a persistent open water cooler.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And we actually had somebody on our team that built a bot that is super cool. It will send us messages to get to know one another. And I think that has been an added benefit that a lot of times we don't think about, is the social aspect in the team. It really does help build your team. Me being remote, it is a way for me to get to know people, just by working and hearing and seeing them interact with others. But also this bot's super cool because it'll ping two people from within the organization and say, hey, you guys should meet. You don't work together ever and you should know each other. And that's been a really fun way to get to know people from across the whole org as well. So some really fun things that you can do with Teams, and it's been great.
Awesome. Thanks, Lori, for joining in and showing us or giving us your insight and your journey from the inception of Teams to what it is today and how Microsoft uses it as well. So I really appreciate you coming on and giving us all that information. So thanks, everybody, for listening in, and we hope to catch you on the next episode.
Thanks everyone.
Thank you. Bye.